You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome to Encouraging One Another Ministries. And now, here is your host, Tom Jones.
The Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate, to celebrate, he reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout.
Yes, good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and coming to you live today. And thank you, Danny, for doing everything you do here at the station. I greatly say thank you. And, you know, you too need to thank people who do things for you as well. Don't forget, you know, there is 10 lepers, and only one went back to tell Jesus thank you. And Jesus told the leper, be made whole. And I often wondered what he meant by that. And when he told him to be made whole, I've been to the leper colony. There was a leper colony in Kalapapa, Hawaii, and I saw what leprosy does to the body. It deteriorates the skin. It eats away the skin, rather. And some of the lepers have like half of a nose, stubby. The ears are disformed. Their fingers. It just eats away at the skin in one's body. And when Jesus told the leper, when he came back and said thank you, he told him, be made whole. And I believe, because even Jesus said, well, where are the other nine? And he didn't know, but when he thanked Jesus, Jesus said, be made whole. And it's as if he never had leprosy. The scars were completely gone. Now, the other nine, they were healed, but they still had the scars bearing that they had leprosy. This one man went back to say thank you, and Jesus said, be made whole. So don't forget to thank people in your life. Thank your wife, your husband. Thank your boss. Be grateful. If people do something for you, you know, be grateful, because we're to have a grateful heart. Being a Christian, we're the first ones that should have a grateful heart and be grateful and thankful for everything that Jesus has done for you and for myself. He'll see us through. And I believe there's something unique. I remember one time in Hawaii in the mission field, there was a lady, and I know you've all heard this story before, and I just wanted to share it again. She sent a $1 bill. She and her husband were from Colorado. She sent a dollar bill to the ministry, and when I opened it, the team was already gone. They were in India, and I stayed back to man the office and the home and cut the grass and get the mail and send thank you cards out and go to the bank. But I proceeded to write her a thank you, because Dr. Rayner always taught us, and even Dr. Patrick, that if someone sends you a gift, always to thank them. And when this lady sent a dollar, I thought to myself, well, now, wait a minute, this is going to cost me more in Hawaii to send her a thank you card with a thank you card than it was what she sent. But no, we proceeded to, or I proceeded to write her a nice thank you card. And I think it was about 3-4 weeks later, the team came back from India. And Dr. Patrick said, you need to read this letter. It's different. And I said, oh, I remember her, the lady from Colorado. He said, well, read it. And she said, dear Southeast Asian Missions, Dr. Patrick and the team, she said, on behalf of my husband, she then said, you know, my husband and I sent three $1 bills to three separate ministries. And she says, yours was the only one that thanked us. And she said, on behalf of my husband and I, please accept this $10,000 contribution to your ministry. You know, and I just sat there and I thought, wow, you know. And Dr. Patrick was telling me earlier that they were working on an orphan home there and they were short about $9,000 some odd. So it, you know, some of you that are listening, you know, God's never late. He's always on time. And Dr. Patrick was just, he said, I knew God would provide. God will provide for you as well. You that are listening, whatever you need, you know, he'll provide for you. You trust in him. The word reminds us all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Acknowledge him. And what did he say? He shall direct your path. He'll direct your path. Just let him, you know. Don't be shy. You know, whatever you need, go to him. You know, don't be like Isaac and, you know, went through a famine that we read about in the Old Testament. And he was on his way, you know, going through a famine like his father Abraham. And he said, well, you know, we're in a famine and things are tough. And I'm sure they were. And he had a backup plan. And his backup plan, he had his sights set on Egypt, going to Egypt for his provision. Egypt was very wealthy. And the Lord stopped him in his tracks and said, you need to stay in the land where I've placed you and I'll provide. And some of you listening, you know, you don't need a backup plan. You just need Jesus. He'll take care of everything that you need. Remember, just trust in him. Trust in him for everything. You know, I believe we're living in a season that I believe medically we need to even trust him. Because remember, you know, God uses prayer and medicine to heal us. And also, don't forget, doctors. You know, I'm not against divine intervention at all. I believe in that. Jesus touched me one time, and I was in a bad auto accident, and I was given 2 days to live, and he pulled me out of it. So Jesus still is in the miracle business. But what is God's pathway for your life? And I know one thing. There's two scriptures, and I want to share this. I have a speaking engagement today at 12. It's for guys. You can come on out. It's in Vieira. It's at the Fuel Ministry for Men. I'll be speaking about 12 o'clock. And I always like invitations. I love to speak. I used to be shy. But, you know, remember, there's two scriptures I like. One is, and I'll get back to where the meeting will be today, but two scriptures that I love, and one of them is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and I know you've all heard this, but that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. And so he wants to give you life. And he wants to give you life and life more abundantly. And so, he said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. In John, I believe it's 1 John, said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Are you living that abundant life? And the second scripture that I hold tightly to, that the ministry changed the name. I don't want to hear my name mentioned anymore, because Billy Graham once said, you know, if my name... is mentioned one time. It's mentioned one time too many. And I've been struggling for quite some time to change the name of it. At first, when I put the little ministry together, the name actually was supposed to be Reach Out. And the attorney told me I couldn't have it. And then I said, well, I have a backup by Reaching Out. And he said, nope, can't have that one either. Someone else already has it. And I didn't know what to do. Didn't have any other names. So we settled on just naming it after me. But after years, you know, I just felt uncomfortable. I'm not trying to make a name. There's only one name to be known, and that's Jesus's name. His name to be known, not your name, my name. It's his name. If he be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men. I will draw all men. And that's the unique thing that we have in Christ is, you know, he gives us a strength. He'll supernaturally touch your body. And then maybe he'll use the doctor. Maybe he'll use prayer and medicine. You know, just call on him. As he said, I will show you great and mighty things that you know us not of. And then the second scripture that I dearly love is one of my favorites. And you'll hear me say this a lot on the radio. You probably get tired. And I don't want to bore you. That's not my intentions coming here. I don't mean to bore you, but my second favorite scripture, and I know you all have yours, is Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called the day, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Does it say? Now let's look at that again. Let's go back to Hebrews 3:13. Does it say weekly? Encourage one another weekly. Does it say monthly? Does it say yearly? Does it say every other year? No, it said daily. And I'm encouraging you all. Yeah, I'm encouraging you all. You know, don't have a critical spirit. Don't, if you get frustrated, you know, just turn it over to the Lord. Surrender. You know, what I call stinking thinking, and I get it too a lot, you know, in my own life. And I have to just say, Lord, just help me. You know, my flesh wants to rise up. And when it does, it's disastrous. And I'm telling you, Lord, I surrender. You know, help me. But what the body of Christ is to do is to encourage one another daily. Why today is still called today? These are tough times. I don't know about any of you, but these are tough times. I'm not glorifying the tough times. Jesus is with us all. But that's where we need one another to encourage us. You know, there's oftentimes you have to, like Dave, I believe it was David, had to encourage himself. And sometimes if no one's around, just encourage yourself that you can do it. You know, the word says, I can do all things through Christ. I believe Paul stated that, through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. You can do it, you know. But the problem that I'm seeing, that I've seen in my life, is that we have a lot of naysayers. And they say, well, you can't make it. You can't do it. You'll never amount to anything. You can't do it. You just have to just, you know, let those people go, you know, love them, you know, you can love them, but sometimes you just have to just shield yourself. And don't tell everybody everything. You know, if God's calling you to do something, whatever that may be, being a governor, running for president, you know, being going to be a banker, whatever it may be, going into ministry, you need to guard it. Because I tell you what, you're going to have a lot of naysayers. Excuse me. You're going to have a lot of naysayers come in your life and say, you just can't do it. But you can do it. If the Holy Spirit has put it on your heart to do something, you just need to do it. Don't be like Jonah. Don't dare be like Jonah. I come here every week, and I try to come here live to encourage all of you. That is my the ministry. It's not about Tom. It's about encouraging one another, pushing you to do what Jesus has called you to do, to greatness, for his purpose and for his glory. You know, the only name I want to make known is his, not mine. So the new ministry name now is called Encouraging One Another. I'll probably legally have it sent through the government, and it'll probably take another month. But I've worked on that, and I shared it with my wife and my business partner, and I said, what do you think? Encouraging one another. And that's what we're to do. That's what I want you to do. I want you to encourage your pastor. I want you to encourage the missionaries. I want you to encourage your wife or encourage your husband. You know, don't be critical. Don't have a critical spirit. And if you do, just ask the Lord to help you with that. Ask the Lord to help you break that off of you. Because he wants us to encourage one another daily. Going back to Jonah, well, you know, I don't know about any of you, but Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, guess what he did? He ran the other way. Let me tell you something. When you run the other way of what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do or what the Lord's telling you to do, you're jeopardizing other people. You know, their destinies, I believe, on the palm of your hands. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? You know, I don't, and I'm missing some pages in my Bible, because when I was in Korea, the kids got a hold of my Bible, and I'm missing some chapters, and I have to be careful. Now, my wife got me a new Bible, and I'm using that one too, but this one's a little bit more lightweight, and I use this one a lot. It's like a old shoe, you know. It's like, I just don't want to get rid of this old shoe. Not the Bible's old, but it's not. But you know, I just like it. So I do have a couple chapters missing. Sometimes I wonder where the prophets are when I try to find them in the Bible, and I find out, you know, I'm missing some pages. And last week at church, I didn't have the book of James, and I thought, where did the book of James go? You know, I know I have it, but the kids in Korea got a hold of my Bible, and I kept telling them, I said, look, kids, don't take away from God's word. You're taking away from him. But anyway, look, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. And I've shared this before, and I know you're getting tired of probably hearing me say this. But if you don't do what Jesus is telling you to do, who's going to do it? There wasn't a Jonah Jr., a Jonah the third, Jonah the fourth, or Jonah the fifth. There's only one Jonah. And he didn't really want to go to Nineveh. He resisted. And so Jesus is calling us to do things. And if you've got his permission, yes, you might want to share it with a close friend, but be careful, you know, because people aren't going to understand where you are, your walk and your relationship with Christ. So don't go around advertising, you know, the Lord's going to have me do this, or, you know, because people may not understand what you're going to do. People didn't understand what I wanted to do. You know, they thought, well, you can't do it. You're a ditch digger. Well, you know, Jesus can use anyone. Look, he used the disciples. You know, he called those boys, and they were fishermen and men. He told them, drop their nets. He did. Read it, you know, and they did. They dropped the net and went to follow him. And if that were me, if I were one of the disciples, I wouldn't have been dropping my net. I'd have been dragging it with me just to have a backup, just in case Jesus didn't come through. But he always comes through. So you don't need to carry a security blanket around. Jesus is your security. Just remember that. He is your security, you know. And you don't need a backup plan. And a lot of times I try to figure this out. You know, God, how's this going to work? When I was called to go to the mission field, how's this going to work? You know, you start figuring, you know, I was driving across country and going to the mission field years ago. And I was trying to figure this out. And, you know, okay, I don't have medical. I don't have an income coming in. And I don't even have a place to stay in Hawaii. And this is ridiculous. And I said, Lord, I got to have a backup. You know, I got to have you don't need a backup. Jesus got me to Hawaii. And I really enjoyed it, folks. I enjoyed being in the mission team, being with the mission team and doing all the marvelous work that we did for Jesus. Not here to brag to you, but it's the greatest thing that the Lord's ever had me do. And that's what I want you to be saying, that this is the greatest thing, that the greatest thing is really accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, knowing him, that you can have that abundant life. For John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. You have that abundant life, I tell you, you'll never be the same. Draw near to him, as the scriptures tell us, and guess what? He said, I'll draw near to you. So, you know, if God's called you to do something, you guard it. You keep praying. I'd encourage you to fast and read the scriptures and be in much prayer. And because, you know, when I told people what I wanted to do is like, you're crazy, you know. I even had one pastor said, God can't use you, and love the pastor. But you know, don't ever tell somebody God can't use them. You know, don't ever tell anyone that, you know. Please don't. Let's go back to Hebrews again. Hebrews 3:13, and I want you all to memorize it. And I also want you to do it. It says, encourage one another daily, while today is still called the day, so that none of you be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It's so important, you know, that you get stirred up. You know, when you go to church, you know, tap the guy on the gal of the husband and say, welcome to our church. How are you doing? You know, and if someone's discouraged, you know, take time to pray for them. I was at the eye doctor the other day, and I had an opportunity to pray for two ladies. One had the glaucoma, and the other one had shingles around her eye. And I thought, oh, and I told the lady, her name, one of the ladies was Jean, and I wrote it down, and I prayed for her. She said, would you pray for me? I said, I'd be honored to pray for you. And so I did, and that led me to pray for the other lady that was having eye problems. So you never know the divine appointments that you're going to encounter. Be bold. You know, you can do it. You know, just speak up, stand up, and be not just, as the word says, hearer of the word, but Jesus wants it to become doers of the word as well, you know? And so that's extremely important. And again, don't worry about tomorrow. You know, so many people are focused on, you know, I'm building a big home, and what's nothing wrong with a big home. Don't get me wrong. Jesus wants you to have a nice home, nice car and all that, but don't get caught up in it. You know, don't get caught up in all this worldly stuff. Get caught up with Jesus, you know, and do what he tells you to do. And whatever he tells you to do, you know, as the scriptures tell us, run the race with confidence. The race that's set before you. You know, so whatever he's put on your heart to do, do it. Remember, Moses was in battle. If you go back to Exodus chapter 13, verses 8 through 13, what happened to him? You know, he was winning the battle from the Amalekites, and as soon as Moses' hands got tired and went down, Aaron and Hur sat him on a rock and lifted his arms up. And when his arms were lifted back up again, they were winning the battle. And some people just get battle fatigued in this life. I get battle fatigued, and I know, I'm sure you get battle fatigued, you know? And when you get battle fatigued, it's wonderful to have someone come up and say, I'm praying for you. Let me pray for you. You know, I'm praying for you. And you hold their arms up, because they're going through some things. They may not understand why they're going through it. You don't need to understand everything. Try to figure God out, and I can guarantee you, you're going to figure Jesus away if you start figuring how he's going to do it. You're going to figure him away. Don't figure him out. Just draw closer to him. Pray for that brother. Pray for that sister. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the missionaries. It's important. And I prayed for those two ladies, and one of them was just crying. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And I remember one time being in Oklahoma, and it was an Assembly of God church I was attending. And there was a gentleman, I was leaving church, and there was a gentleman in the foyer, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, you need to encourage him. And you know what I told the Lord? It was a big church, big Assembly of God church out there in Oklahoma. I said, Lord, that man doesn't know me from Adam. And the Holy Spirit said, he doesn't need to know you. He knows me. And I didn't go up to that fella. And then 2 weeks later, I saw him again at church. And I went up to him, and I said, I apologize. After church was over, again, 2 weeks later, I went up to him and said, I really apologize. And he said, why? And I said, well, the Holy Spirit put something on my heart 2 weeks ago when I saw you. And he said, well, what was that? What did the Holy Spirit put on your heart? And I revealed it to him. And he had tears streaming down. This is a true story, folks. He had tears streaming down his face. He said, why didn't you tell me that 2 weeks ago? Why are you telling me that now? I said, well, I'm very sorry, dear brother. He said, I needed that encouragement 2 weeks ago. Folks, saints of God, let us not miss those divine opportunities that come our way. If the Holy Spirit's moving you to shake someone's hand, just do it, you know. If God's calling you to go to Nineveh, which, you know, just do it. You know, don't run the other way. wherever God's calling you, don't run the other way. That's what I was doing when I was called to go to the mission field. You know, folks, I didn't really want to go. I didn't want to get my security up in the military. When Dr. Patrick called me, I said, Dr. Patrick, you don't realize in 10 more years I get a pension check. He said, that's not what you told me. He told me if I ever needed help, I could call you. And when he called me the second time and the third time and the fourth time, I said, look, Dr. Patrick, I'll come and see. I'm going to be checking in with you in 10 more years when I get the pension check. And he said, that's not what you said. I hung the phone up and I thought, Lord, listen here. I'm in the military and I'm going to get me a pension. That was my stinking thinking. You know, nothing wrong with getting a pension. Now, don't get me wrong. But the Lord was having me give my career up and I didn't want it. I didn't want to give my career up. I wanted the pension check. You know, 20 years, bingo, you get a pension check. And that's that. My eyesight was focused on pension check, pension check, pension check. It wasn't focused on really going to the mission field, helping Dr. Patrick build orphan homes and ministering to people. Nope. It was just focused on pension, pension, pension. That was my stinking thinking. Again, nothing wrong with planning. The Lord wants us to plan. But there will be opportunities and days where Jesus will tell you to do something. He might even tell you to encourage your pastor or go over to your neighbor and encourage them. You know, I have a couple neighbors that are dealing with some serious issues, one with cancer and the other one with his eyes, and his wife has cancer, and there's a lot of people hurting. And it's the church's job. It's our job. It's your job, my job, to go strengthen those people, to encourage them with God's love and with God's mercy and with God's grace. You know, you just have to do it. Don't run the other way and procrastinate, because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? You know, had Jonah not got right with God, those people wouldn't have heard of God again in Nineveh. But there was thousands of people at stake. We don't realize it, saints of God, that if Jesus is putting something on your heart and you don't do it, it is like those people are in the palm of your hand. No, they're really in Jesus' hands, but they're in your hands. And if you don't do it, who's going to minister to them? Who's going to love on them? Who's going to care for them if you don't do it? You know, let someone else do it. Well, someone else may not do it. You were the one that Jesus called to do it. Just do it. You know, again, it said, be not just a hearer of the word, but also we're called to be a doer. And saints of God, let's get that in our spirit, our heart, our mind, our soul. You know, let the word of God penetrate through your bones, that what he tells us to do, just do it. Don't have head knowledge. That's what the Pharisees, the religious people had. They just had the head knowledge. Oh, yeah, I can tell you this and I can tell you this. And, you know, they're good at that. But until the word gets from the head to the heart, you know, you can know the word, and I'm sure some of you know the word better than I do. You know, I'm still learning, and I went to Bible college in Hawaii, you know, and I've been reading the word, and I'm still rusty a little bit, and I'm trying. You give me credit, I'm trying, and I'm doing the best I can. I'm not a scholar by no means. God looks for a willing heart. You don't need ability. You just need availability and a willing heart, and that's what the disciples had. They were willing to follow Jesus and drop everything. Are you willing to drop your net and do what Jesus had told you to do, whatever that may be? Is it scary? Sure, it's scary. You're going to be in unfamiliar territory, unknown territory. You know, I was nervous driving across country, and then I got to California and put my car in a boat. I was still nervous, and I got on the 747. I was still nervous. You know, let's chill out. You know, Jesus knows. He knows what he's doing with your life. You know, he knows what he's doing. Just let go. And we need to start, thanks to God, encouraging one another daily. That's really important, because I tell you what, if you don't encourage that brother, I tell you, or that sister, or that pastor, they may be wanting to give up ministry. You don't know. I don't know. You know, and it's good to just encourage them, you know. I look at David and Goliath, and one of the things I was reading about David and Goliath, I think it was about a week or two ago, I noticed something. I noticed something. What I gleaned out of it is that David wasn't worried about the bigness of Goliath and his strength. He could care less. He didn't care. You know what he knew? The bigness and greatness of his God. And that's what I want you to all understand, the bigness and greatness of our God. Not the greatness and bigness of our issues and our problems, but the bigness and greatness of our God. And he's big. You know, his timing's different than your timing and my time. You know, it's everything's instant today. You want something, call Amazon, you get it tomorrow. You know, sometimes Jesus isn't like that. Nope, he's not like that. You can't call Jesus up and say, well, I demand this and I want this. And, you know, you can't do that. you shouldn't do that. And I know there's Christians that do that, but let's get back. Let's not seek the kingdom. You know, Jesus is a rich man. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the word says. Let's not seek the kingdom. Let's seek the king. Because you know a rich man, you can like a rich man for what he has. Or do you like him because you want to get to know him and love him? Love he and his wife and family. Or you're after him for what you can get out of him. And that's not a friendship. And sometimes I think that we do that with Jesus. You know, all right, give me. It's a bless me gospel. This isn't a bless me gospel. You know, it's not a bless me gospel. You know, and I hear many evangelists say, you know, call in and give 5,000 and God's going to give you 20 back or God's going to bless you. You know, it's not how it's a bless me gospel. No, it's not a bless me gospel. You know, God, give me, and I want, I gave. You know, okay, you know, just give out of a gracious and giving heart. Become an extravagant giver to the things of God here on this earth. And I'll tell you what, he'll take care of you. But you don't give to say, okay, I got my hand out and you're playing Jesus like a slot machine, hoping three cherries show up and bingo, I've won the lottery. Yeah, that's not Jesus. That's a false gospel. And that prosperity message, we need to get rid of it, you know. These pastors living in these homes. I don't want to get started on that. But, you know, look, Jesus was born in a stable, you know. We just need to keep life simple. I believe it's Proverbs. I can't remember. Proverbs or Psalms where it says better is there. I think it's Proverbs where it says better where there is little where love dwells than plenty where hate abounds. So in other words, better where there is little and you have a lot of love than plenty where hate abounds. So just because you have stuff, you know, don't let stuff have you. Don't let it have you. You know, let Jesus have you. Give your whole life, heart and soul, mind, spirit to Jesus and fall deeper in love with him like never before. And I tell you what, you'll never be the same. So we just need to go about encouraging one another daily while the day is still called the day. That, and I believe that's your job. And you know, oftentimes in ministry, you know, I'd often want to clean people up. Yeah, I did. You know, I'd go in bars in Hawaii and tell everyone, praise the Lord, Jesus loves all of you. And next thing I know, I hear beer mugs hitting the countertop and the bartender's telling me to get out. And then I'd go up to people and try to clean the prostitutes up and kind of clean this one up. And thought, you know, and that's not my job. I believe if you go back to Psalms 42:1, it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. So, you know, that people know they're sinners. They know it. You don't need to go up. It's like the deer. If you go up to that deer and yell at it, what's going to happen? He's going to run away. And I think sometimes the biggest issue that sometimes I had in my life is just going up scaring people away. You know, that's not what Jesus would do. He'd go up and love on them where they are. He'd love on them regardless, and he'd love them. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes you got to be their friends. And I learned ministry. You just got to love people where they are. You know, none of us are perfect. You know, none of us are. And it's through his grace and mercy that you're where you are, and me too. You know, be careful, you know, because the word says, judge lest ye be judged. Take out the log out of your eye before you go to someone else. And you can judge. But I believe when you do that, you better bathe that in prayer. A lot of prayer before you go to that other brother or sister or whoever. It must be bathed in Jesus' grace and mercy and love. Don't tell that person, you know, you need to be doing this. Just go to him in a loving way and say, look, you know, the Lord showed me something and I need to pray for you in this. But if you go up to that person and, you know, yell at him and condemn them, and that's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to work on their hearts, not yours. Yours is to go love on them, share the word of God with them, become their friend. And I tell you what, I've seen many come to Christ because of this, going up to them, just loving on them where they are. It's a simple gospel for mankind, for all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. And that's what he wants you to have, everlasting life. Just hear the heartbeat of the Lord, whatever he tells you to do, you know, just do it. just do it. Is it scary? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But it shouldn't be. But you know, we're human. In our humanness, we do get scared. We do get anxiety, and that's okay. Just turn that over to the Lord. I try to, you know, turn my little problems over to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help. You know what? He'll help you, and he will. And don't forget, he uses doctors. So people oftentimes say, well, you know, you didn't have enough faith. You didn't have enough faith, Tom. Well, you know, all I know is the Bible says if you have faith of a mustard seed. Has anyone seen a mustard seed lately? It is very, very small. Very small. It doesn't say you had a lot of faith. It's the faith of a mustard seed. So just rest in that. And take your issues, that whatever you're dealing with, and just go to him and say, Lord, I surrender. I've been fighting this battle alone, and I need you to help me with it. And that's where the body of Christ comes in. You know, one time I had a person get on me and say, oh, well, now calm down, Brother Tom. Jesus is in control. And I said, oh, yep, that's right. I know he's in control, but I don't see Jesus going to the voting booth. You are. You know, how is God going to use us if God provides? How does he provide? He has to use us. He does. He has to use you, and he has to use myself. And if he doesn't, how does his work get done? You know? And yes, Jesus is in control. But while we're down here, aren't we his hands, his eyes, his mouth, and his ears? And again, whatever you do, however successful you become, don't forget to give him all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Not you, you know, because the word tells us, remember your humble beginnings. And Lord, help us to remember our humble beginnings, where we were and where we are today. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Father. And I pray for the listeners, Father God, that you would stir their hearts, their minds, their soul, Father God, that you would encourage them as well. That they, if they're discouraged and no one's around, Father, I just pray that they would become like a David and start encouraging themselves, Father God. That I pray the church would awaken to this hour, that this season that we're in, Father God, although it may be dark and it seems like problems just, you know, you turn on the TV and they're talking about this, and talking about the Iran war. They're talking about this, and it just never stops. And maybe just turn the TV off, you know. Bow your head and just say, Lord, I need to have some quiet time with you. That's why Pastor Malcolm last week, I love what he said. He said that you know, and I loved it. Before he started ministering, he said that people have had a hard week, and they can come to church and worship Jesus and hear the word of God. Oh man, that's the way it should be. Because when I hear people say, "Well, I don't need church; I can worship wherever I go," well, that's true too. Yeah, but that's not true. But to them it is. But we all need church. We need to go to church. We all corporately as a body of Christ come together and we worship Jesus. You can't do that. You can do that at home, but the word also reminds us: don't forsake the assembling of yourself. Also, you hear the word of God. And if any of you have ever heard Pastor Malcolm, I tell you what, when I go, he has my undivided attention. And the pastors there, they're all humble. They all love Jesus, and they're humble. And they're not arrogant, prideful, and into stuff and things. And they're into Jesus. And that's what I love. You know, I love that. And I believe the Lord loves that as well, to walk in humbleness and meekness and kindness. Just because you're meek doesn't mean you're weak, you know? So draw closer to him. And his word says, I'll draw near to you. So we all need to go to church. You know, you can say, well, I don't need to go. You do need to go because, you know, if you've been hurt in church. And another thing Pastor Malcolm said that I dearly love, and he's from the Calvary Chapel in Merritt Island, if y'all looking for a good church, it's really good. He said that if someone in the church has hurt you, he said, there'll be many others here to love on you. And that's so true. So Pastor Malcolm, thank you for all that you do. And all the pastors there at the Calvary, thank you. Glenn and the youth pastor, they're just, it's amazing to see them. I tell you, they're all humble. And that's what the Lord wants is people that have a servant's heart, humble heart, to serve him and his people. And I just pray for you that if you're listening and you've been discouraged at church, someone's hurt you at church, let go of it, you know, forgive that person and move on. We've all been hurt. We've all been discouraged and disappointed. But let just lay that hurt and that disappointment, lay it at the cross and leave it there, you know, because there'll be plenty other people at the church that's going to love on you. So you go to church and the worship, you know, it's like, wow, I feel like sometimes I'm in heaven, you know, and then you hear the word of God being ministered to you. And that's how you grow as a Christian, because someone else breaks the word of God down. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm not putting Pastor Malcolm on a pedestal, but I've never heard anyone minister the word of God like him. he's really good, and he helps me understand the Bible even better. So thank you, Pastor Malcolm and Pastor Lynn and the youth pastor. I can't thank you guys enough, because I sure have grown a lot there. And my eyesight, spiritual eyesight, is more clearer now than ever before, because it is all about Jesus. Not about anything else. It's all about Jesus. I'm going to put a song on a minute. I want you to enjoy it. It's one of the songs I may be playing today when I share with a group of men. This is going to be what I'm sharing today, is encouraging one another, you know, why today is still called the day. So let me find the song and how good it is. And I think you'll agree with me, how good God is. Let me go back. I'm still learning all of this stuff, and Lord, just help me. let me see how to get to it. And it's a really a good song. I need to put it back to the very beginning. Thank you for being patient with me. I love this. It's by Chris Tomlin. He's really a good singer. I admire him.
We remember this. Oh, how good that it is.
Boy, how good it is indeed. Because the word tells us he inhabits the praises of his people. And truly he does. Not the complaints, but the praises of his people. So I was looking up while I was playing the song, but Jonah was called to go minister to 120,000 people. I knew it was over 100. I couldn't remember the number that was in Nineveh. And those people couldn't tell their left hand from the right. And God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. So if God's calling you to do something, you know, just do it. Because Jonah really, if you look at the in the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, that he held 120,000 people in the palm of his hands and was throwing them away. Don't throw anyone away. When you meet someone, just ask the Holy Spirit to say, can I encourage them? Can I love on them? What can I do for them? You know, we're called because when we pass away and go to heaven, I want to hear the Lord say, enter thou good and well and faithful, what? Servant into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear him tell me that a servant, you know. And I want him to tell you as well, enter thou good and well and faithful servant. Well, my time's just about up. Boy, I tell you what, time flies. I have to have surgery tomorrow. I don't want to go on about it too much. And I have to tell you, I'm a little concerned. You know, it's back surgery. It's been in the makings for quite some time. I've suffered for about 9 years, and the Lord's been helping me. I was taking those epidural shots, and they worked really well. I was like a teenager again, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I could cut the grass, clean the trees, wash both cars, clean the garage out, do windows, and now I'm barely able to wash a car. But thank goodness God has provided a good doctor for me, and appreciate your prayers. It'll be tomorrow. I'm not sure the time yet. They're supposed to be calling me today. But anyway, thank you for your prayers. And I should be back on next week, Lord willing. And today I'm speaking at the Vieira Fuel. They usually meet, I'm trying to look it up now. They usually meet at Pizza Gallery, but they're meeting next door at 28 Gastro Pub at 12 o'clock. So if you're not doing anything today, it's in Vieira, the Avenues. Come to, it's the number 28 Gastro, G-A-S-T-R-O, Pub. And maybe the Lord can minister to you and you'd get encouraged by the other men. It's today at 12 o'clock, and I'm honored and humbled to be asked again to speak. Last time I spoke, my wife told me, slow down now. Don't talk so fast. Thank you, sweetheart. And it's at 12 noon, and it goes from 12 to 1. You're welcome to come out and join us, and love to see you there, and love to encourage you as well. And again, I'm honored and humbled to just have any in-speaking engagement, to be honest with you. And I'm learning too, you know, calm down, Tom. My wife says, I speak a little slower. You know, I just get so excited for Jesus. You know, when I went to Haiti, the kids were just jumping up and down. They were so excited for what Jesus is doing. And that's the way we should be, also on fire for Jesus, not our flesh. You know, our flesh gets riled up and our stinking thinking kicks in. And I just surrender all that to the Lord. Help me in my unbelief. Just help me. And I pray that he ministers to each and every one of you. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. And remember, you know, in Isaiah it says, fear not, for I am with you. For I am your God. I will help you and I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And surely he really will. You just have to let him. Spend some time with him. And don't spend so much time on this internet stuff and all these websites, and just spend time with Jesus. That's what's most important. That's what's most important. So, Lord willing, I should be back next week. The doctor said I can't drive for a couple of weeks, but I'm going to have one of my friends bring me up, one of my workers. He wants to be on the radio, so this would be a good opportunity for him to come up, and you'll be hearing from him. And his name's Nick. He's just a young fella, loves Jesus. And he'll be helping me out a little bit. And so I appreciate your prayers. And don't forget, you know, that keep Israel in prayer. We pray that no weapon formed against Israel shall prosper. And I pray, Father God, for the listeners that are listening, that I make sense when I speak. That, you know, sometimes I come here and I know what I'm planning on talking about, but sometimes you change it and I get a little nervous. And Lord, help me. Help the listeners, Lord, when they hear the word. Also, have them become doers as well, Father God. Help them wherever, whatever they need, Father God. Let them know that your hand is not short, that you cannot save them. Help them, Father God. and touch them, Father God. If they need a healing touch, Father God, I thank you for touching them. Their eyes, the three ladies actually I met yesterday, thank you for helping and healing their eyes as well, Father God. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and your word reminds us all, is there anything too difficult for thee? And Lord, we know there's nothing too difficult. There's nothing too difficult. Help us with our unbelief, Father God. Your word reminds us that if we draw near to you, you would draw near to us. Well, my time's just about up. I just don't know where the time goes. I really don't. And I sure enjoy being on the radio. I used to be on Saturdays for a couple hours, and that's probably too long. You know, if people just get, I know my wife gets tired of me after about 5 seconds. So I can't imagine someone listening to me for 2 hours. That was a bit long. But, you know, stay focused. You know, remember, encourage one another. And that's what it's about. Serving Jesus, falling deeper in love with him, and being that light that he's called you to be. And I'm until next week, may God continue to bless you, strengthen you, and hold you in his arms. And don't give up. You know, if you're thinking about giving up your dream and your vision, nope, don't do that. Keep persevering, and I pray that what he's put on your heart, that that he's the one that would open the doors. In the book of Revelation, it says, yea, I set before thee an open door. There's someone listening to me, and the Holy Spirit's telling me that you feel like a door has been closed in your life, but it hasn't been closed. It hasn't been closed. The Lord's the one that's going to open that door. And if I remember correctly, that scripture in Revelation, it says, yea, I'm setting before thee an open door that no man can close. So don't try to shut that door, because God's trying to open something. God's trying to do something new in your life. And just let him, trust him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite songs, Fall Deeper in Love with Him. And until next week, may God richly, richly bless you all. Don't forget to keep Israel in your prayers. Pray for one another. Pray for 91.5. And pray for your pastors. Pray for any missionaries that come to town. Pray for our little town here, Melbourne, which is a beautiful town to live in. Pray for the state of Florida. Pray for America, because I think we've lost our way. You know, pray for D.C., the Congress, Senate, senators. They need help. That's all I can tell you. I'm not getting into politics, but they need help. And so I just pray in Jesus' name that you just, Father God, I pray Democrats and Republicans would come together in harmony. I just pray that they would just be in harmony and unity, Father God, and they'd stop this fighting stuff. I don't understand all this bickering, and it's just a power thing. And I pray, Father God, that you would embolden them, Father, with give them the words that they're to share, Father God. Let them walk in harmony and unity and learn to get along with one another. Father God, I ask this, and I pray for America. I think we've lost our way, Father God. And I ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Well, God bless you all. Don't forget to keep me in prayer tomorrow. I'm a little nervous about surgery. Lord willing, I should be back on next Thursday. God richly bless you. And I pray the best is yet to come for you all.
mining. I never have to search again. There's a deep desire that's burning like a fire to know you as my closest friend. I'm deep in love with you, Abba Father. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. My heart beats for you, precious Jesus. I'm deep in love with you, Lord.
You've been listening to Encouraging One Another Ministries, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us next Thursday at the same time for Encouraging One Another broadcast.